Hello, and welcome to the Osterman Research Podcast. My name is Michael Osterman, and I'm the head of Osterman Research, an industry analyst firm focused on primarily security and archiving issues, but really a wide range of IT issues as well. I'm here today with Robert Fleming. He's the president of Black Square Technologies. Robert, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here, Mike. Thanks.
Great. We're going to be talking about security today, and I'd like to ask you a few questions. What do you see as the primary issues today with security in the workplace?
Great question. It takes us back quite a while. I've been in data security and data science fields for about 20 years now, and we've seen attacks by hackers, state actors and bad actors grow exponentially over the past 10 years at least. Today, we're told that a successful data breach occurs every 2 seconds. So from what we know, the hackers are here to stay. They really can't be caught. They can't be compromised. And they're there to do damage. And when I say damage, they're there to send you a message that says, guess what, I've encrypted all your data. I'm going to ransom the data back to you for money. And by the way, I'm going to resell it to everybody I know and everybody I don't know at the same time. So that's where we are in the world of hacking.
Okay. Yeah, scary world we're in, for sure. So how do you best deal with these kinds of things, with ransomware, with data breaches and so forth? What are the next steps that somebody should take as they try to protect their network?
So another great question. Typically, we see people and small companies, and I hate to use the phrase, but in a way they're hiding. And there's a reason that consumers and small businesses specifically are hiding, and that's they don't have a budget to try and build a better security system in their network or overcome these issues. So a lot of people will use some free anti-malware or anti-spyware type solution. With any luck, a lot of people are backing up data into external hard drives or into the cloud or both. The more backups you have, in my opinion, the better off you are. But a lot of people are sort of doing the ostrich thing. They're hiding their head in the sand and they're believing in this technology called hope and pray, which really isn't a technology. To me, hope and pray, it's not a strategy. It's certainly not a good religion and it's not a very good tactic. So these people are more vulnerable to an attack than someone who's a bit more prepared.
And why do you think people are in that hope and pray mode?
Boy, that's a good question. If you're a consumer, you're sort of hoping that your next door neighbor or your friend who's the IT guy, in quotes, knows how to protect you. But even the IT guys, no matter how good they are, they don't know how to protect you 100% of the time. There's just no way possible. And the reason there's no way possible is because humans can make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I can send you an email that has a link in it, and if you don't know how to examine that link to determine if there is malware or an injectable in that link, you may click on it because it came from your best friend. I may not even know the link is infected to that point. So when someone sends you a picture or a document or a link saying, hey, this is cool, look at this new video, whatever, there are tools out there that you can use to determine whether the link or the document or the artifact or the video are somewhat secure. One of those tools you can use is a tool called VirusTotal, VirusTotal.com. It's a free software app. Just fire it up and you can actually plug in the data or the link or the artifact and it'll take a look at it for you.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
So let's say you know you've been attacked and let's say you've paid the ransom, you've solved the data breach, quote unquote. How do you know that the attacker is gone? The city of Baltimore, city of Atlanta, major cities, lots of us have been attacked. How do you know that the attacker is gone once you've supposedly solved the problem?
My answer is you don't. You don't know that the attacker is gone. He may hang around in the sandbox, so to speak, and just lay low and not be detected for 6 months and may resurface and say, hey, do you remember me? I'm back for more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a scary thought. So how do you solve that problem? How do you ultimately get rid of the attacker once and for all?
Well, that's, if I knew the answer to that, someone would be writing me a really, really big check. I think that there's a lot of conversation that needs to take place here. If you take a city like Atlanta or Baltimore, as you mentioned, these cities have had to replace their hardware componentry to try and remove these malware instances or evidence or attack possibilities. They've had to update their software. They've had to update their operating systems. They've had to do a number of other things. They've had to update and secure their routers. They've had to do the same thing with their VPN systems for those of us that work at home or that are working remotely nowadays. So there's a lot that goes into preparing the equipment and buying new hardware tools. So if we just talk about a hardware product for a second, let's say your company says, we'd like you to work from home. We're going to give you a company computer, and it happens to be a Dell or an HP or an XYZ computer. One of the questions we want to ask the IT team is, how do we know that everything that's in that computer is secure in terms of the software applications and the other components in that product? Because when you buy a new computer from HP or from Dell or from anyone else, there are a lot of applications in that device that you probably won't use and that might annoy you. So it's a really interesting question. Once you've tried to figure out how to solve the hardware componentry issue, now you're stuck with building a secure infrastructure from the corporate headquarters to all of the endpoints in that network. And to further complicate things, most of us have moved or transitioned from desktops to notebooks, to laptops, to tablets, to phones. So now we introduce this concept called IoT, which would be relevant in with regard to the tablet and the phone. And levels of security in IoT are not very high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good points. So particularly with regard to sort of the sudden work at home movement we've had over the past couple of weeks because of COVID-19, how much more risk do you think companies are facing simply because of that?
Well, let's take a look at that for just a second. Let's say you have a 10,000 person employee company. If you have enough notice ahead of time, IT is now going to have to work overtime again to develop and try and secure all of the endpoints in terms of the tablets and the phones and the computer that you use at home. They may say, let's endure the additional expense and send Mike a new computer that's our company computer that we've already gone through the system and we've built the tool accordingly. Then we have to look at the VPN process. Do we want Mike to connect via the internet directly, or do we want Mike to be able to connect via a VPN, which provides that secure on-ramp to the internet? And if we do, we want to find a good one. And there are a number of VPNs out there that claim to be good. So it can get time-consuming. It's human capital, a lot of consumption of the IT and the network security's time frame. New policies have to be developed and implemented and communicated with the employee base as well as leadership. We don't want leadership to miss out on these opportunities either. So there's a lot that goes on in the background to make it easy for you and I to work from home.
Yeah, very good points. So fundamentally, what advice would you give to IT managers, CISOs, security managers, and so forth about moving forward in trying to protect their networks?
From a network security perspective, I think the CISOs are doing what they're supposed to do. And they obviously the IT and network security folks are doing what they're told to do. They're beginning to, they're emphasizing strength of their infrastructure. They're trying to protect it as best they can. And that costs money. A 10,000 person company might have to spend $100 or more million dollars in a period of years to provide security to that network. In a way, I double back to my, I look at the connection between that size of a company and Fort Knox. The idea behind Fort Knox, even back in the movie, the Goldfinger movie, was to protect the gold that's inside the vault that's 12 layers removed from the outside world. So if a hacker can jump the fence, if he can crawl through the barbed wire, if he can evade the dog, if he can evade the guy with the gun and get to the front door and all those other things, he now has access to the thing that you're trying to protect, which is the data inside the vault. In Fort Knox's case, it's the gold inside the vault, but it's the same to me. Does that help?
Yeah, very much so. Great. So, Bob, well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. Could you finish with telling us a little bit about Black Square Technologies and what you do?
Oh, sure. So Black Square Technologies is a small company here in Colorado. We've been around about 5 years. We build an external hardware encryption tool, which allows the user, whether it's a small business, a consumer, or a large organization, to encrypt important data in the computer or in any area within their network. So you can encrypt data that's important to you on your computer, on a backup external drive, in the cloud, on a thumb drive, on a CD card, and so on. And we believe that using an external tool, which is transparent to the operating system, provides additional value and security to that organization or to that consumer.
Very good. Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. And for all of you who have been listening, we will be back with another podcast shortly. Thanks again.
Great. Thanks for your time, Mike.